Mi puoi dare la tua mano destra?
Per i miei
tre spiriti guida, il mio girasole, la mia bambola Lalla e il mio gatto Musetto,
i lupi, le volpi e il mare.
E i miei tre guardiani?
Il mare, il cielo e le formiche.
La mia famiglia, le aquile e la notte,
il mare.
I'm Francesca Grilli, I'm an Italian artist based in Brussels, Belgium. I'm, let's say, a visual artist with a focus on performing art. Sometimes my artworks are presented in the context of the visual art, sometimes in experimental theater field. I was studying in Rijksakademie in Amsterdam and in Milan in Italy. And now, as I said, I'm based in Brussels.
Perhaps we can start with your latest piece called Sparks.
Yeah, so Sparks is an installation and a performance. There are and also workshop. So let's say that I was trying to put together two things that I love very much, and I'm into it since long time, which is the esoterical practice that I have in my private life and the art career, of course, and. I'm a mother of a 10 years old child now, and when my daughter turns 8 years old, I started to be interested in the clairvoyance and esotericism for children. And the question was how they perceive this topic, and also in connection with the concept and the meaning of the future. So let's say that for me, for example, Sparks involve the palm reading technique. Palm reading is also an excuse to enter and to touch some topics such as future, for example, or questions about the future, and not really like for a single person, but also for the society as well. So let's say that Spark has a strong esoterical part, of course, because it involves practice, which is a palm reading, but we not only use the palm reading to explore the concept of the future. When I say we, sometimes when I speak about Spark, I say always we, because the workshop was conceived together with a poet, an Italian poet, Azzurra D'Agostino. So she's working with the children normally in her career. So somehow she was the key for me to enter the children's world. Of course, I'm a mother, and of course, I have contact with the children's world. But let's say that she's really very good in touching children's topic, but also she knows how to use children's language, which is the most important part. If I can add something, the aim of Sparks as a piece is somehow to ask the adults. To us, basically, to listen to a new generation, which is the children, because there is a rule in the performance. The rule is that you need to stay in silence and just listen. Otherwise, the performance is over for you. So the children has the space to tell you and to feel what they feel about you as a person, but also about the world itself. Instead of reading your future, for example, when you imagine to go to a fortune teller, maybe the question that you can address to the fortune teller are, about love, about money, about fortune in general. But this reading that the kids are giving to you are more really personal and addresses to your own responsibility towards the world. So they give you questions instead of solving questions. The performance is ending by a sentence. The sentence is, now I leave you with a question. And they really leave you with a question. So, and you cannot respond to this question. And the question stays in your body for a long time. During the COVID, of course, couldn't touch the hand because of the social distance. So we decided to use a little torches. So they pick you up in a room and they guide you through another space. You should follow the light source, and they kind of touch you, the hand, with the the light itself. It's also a symbolical element, you know, like to guide somebody in the dark with the light. And they are wearing a magical hat that they are basically sculptured. The sculptures also are the element for the installation as well. The sculptures are little hats. It's like a cast, a copy of a baseball hat for kids. But when they do the reading, when they become oracles, the upper part of the hat is going down and they are becoming blindfolded, like the oracles in the history was also blinded. Why this? Because somehow they can focus on the hand and not the face of the person, that sometimes the high contact can be also very violent, very heavy to carry. And yeah, so in a few words, this is Sparks, my last production that won also the Italian Council, which is a prestigious Italian prize. And now I'm touring with this performance and installation.
So why such a name, Sparks? Why did you choose that kind of a title?
Actually, the very beginning of the project came out of an inspiration that I got from a Pasolini text, Pasolini interview, that called L'articolo delle lucciole in Italian. So it's an article about fireflies and the disappearance of the fireflies, and where the fireflies are like characters, people, person at the border of the society, that they are disappearing nowadays, because the society nowadays is pretty violent. So all the fragile elements are kind of burning, you know, disappearing. And somehow this article was pointing out the fact that, the resistance in our society is made out of fireflies, you know, like little lights in the night that you can follow. It's also a very poetical vision that I like it so much. So I thought about sparks, like little sparks are also the prediction of the future that these children, and with the tiny voices that they can do to you in nowadays society. So it's something very precious, very fragile, but it's more like an appearance that disappear very quickly. That's why sparks. I like the idea that we are using also the torches, that they are, you know, appearing just for the time of the performance and then fading out.
Yeah, I found it indeed very, very poetic, the work. And, you know, especially talking about future in times of a pandemic where we're as if we're stuck in a perpetual now, without a capacity to glimpse into even near future. So I think that's very timely. Did you plan that, or...?
Actually, I started the project Sparks in 2019, the second part of the 2019. And then what happened that in the beginning of the 2020, the pandemic COVID came. And of course, we were all stuck with everything. And I didn't think that I could do another project about Sparks. I was like... terrifying in the idea that everything could disappear also, because before the touch of the hands were very much involved. And then I made another step during the last year, and now Spark is called 2021, that is also involving the social distance and few changes according to the moment that we are living in. So it's even stronger now. Somehow I found a way to make it possible, and I think that it's a performance that we needed to hear now. It's not because they give you hope. Sometimes the kids can be very, very tough in the prediction that they are making, but somehow to make the space to listen now, it's something that is very much needed, I think, especially from a new generation. Yeah, especially also from a generation that was very, like, deeply hit by the COVID rules, because in the school was a disaster, as we know.
Certainly. So these children seem to represent a type of fragility, but at the same time, the power of fragility, the power of vulnerability. But what were your discoveries working with these children? What did they tell you?
Well, as I said, the first inspiration came from the presence of my daughters. She was the one, the first tester of the performance ever. And somehow we also grew up together during this experience. Something interesting to say that in every city or every place, let's say that we do Sparks performance, we find kids on location. So, because for me, it's interesting also the site-specific part of this installation and performance. And of course, also the language is involved pretty much. We tour already in, I don't know, 5-6 different countries. And every time they speak a different language, we also embrace, let's say, the minor languages that they are spoken in the city. Or the minor community, let's say. And of course, I've learned so much out of this process because we spend with them at least a week because we train them for like 5 days and then they have to perform. And the aim of the workshop is, okay, now you really become an oracle. So they don't really follow a script. Or they don't really learn by heart a text, just like a very tiny part in the end, which are the questions, because they have to remember the questions. But everything that they said is really based on what they feel, and of course some instruction and the structure that we gave to them. It's also interesting to see how the concept of the oracle is perceived in all these different countries that we touch.
Do you notice any interesting differences in different countries?
Yeah. There are like, I don't know, countries that they are more rational. And in terms of also audience, the performance is perceived in a totally different way. Maybe more like exotic, let's say. And some countries that they have a strong tradition about fortune telling or any kind of divination. Even my own country, Italy, it is like this. So people are more serious and engaged, let's say. So it's a very interesting process to follow.
There is always a connection between art and magic and technology in that it somehow creates the miracle or the spectacle. It enchants us. In a sense. And I'm referencing to one of your older works where you were working on that topic, Effluvia, I believe.
Yeah, this was an old performance that took place in the very north of Italy, in the Alps, in a place called Centrale Fies. And basically there was like a structure inspired by a kind of private theater where you could spy the situation through little holes. And I put a lenses to see a kind of, there was a reference of the theater from the end of the 19th century. And also all the, let's say, beliefs in ectoplasm and possession. But this was a very older work, like from 15 years ago, I think. In this year, I made another film that is in connection with Sparks, called Rays. It's not a documentation of the performance, but it's a film, a video, that embraces and has the same action present in the performance, which is the palm reading. And I shot this film in Brussels, where I live now. And yeah, there is also the palm reading technique and the clairvoyance made by children. So it's something that is very present nowadays in my art practice.
You also have that in Faster Than Light, if I remember that correctly, right?
Yeah, this was the starting point of the research back in 2014. It was an invitation and a commission by Fondazione del Monte in my hometown in Bologna. They sponsor a very special place in Bologna, which is a retirement place for artists on stage, let's say, founded by Lida Borelli, which was an actress of the mute cinema in the beginning of last century. So she had the idea to create a house for older artists. So it's a very special place on the hills of my hometown, and they have a beautiful and strong archive about all the affiche of the theater, cinema, costumes. So this foundation in my hometown decided to open up an exhibition, and they gave me a kind of carte blanche to make a film about this place. And I was very much fascinated about the fact that in such a house, people that they were used to be on stage all the time, they were kind of ghosts. They didn't want to appear anymore because, of course, the body is growing old, the concept of beauty is fading out. So I thought to concentrate this description of the body just on one part of the body, which is the hand. And I found this beautiful piano player, around 100 years old, with the hands that they were like kind of roots of a tree. And I decided to ask to a very young piano player, around 10, 11 years old, to do a small training about palm reading and read a part of the hand of this old man. And then from this film, the desire to make a performance and installation came out, but it was possible 5 years after, let's say. Sometimes you have a project that you really like, but you don't have the condition to make it possible. Yes.
You've already mentioned the impact of culture in appreciating your art in different places. I was wondering, because Italy as a space, as a civilizational cultural space, is so to say the old hand. It's so saturated with so much memory and heritage. And I was wondering how that affects your work, how that influences on what influence does it have on you? Has anything changed since you're in Brussels?
Well, yes, usually I'm very attached to my country as a place to produce my work because I live abroad since, I don't know, maybe 13, 14 years. I lived in Amsterdam, I lived in New York. I'm based in Brussels since 6 years now. And during the pandemic, during the last year with the COVID-19, I couldn't be back to my country so often and I couldn't produce there. So I made the first film and video here in Brussels for the first time. Of course, and it was a great experience, but usually I'm very much attached to Italy as a territory of memories because my work is really in connection with the memory and the past as well. But also as a country of many inspirations somehow. But it's something that is also changing now. I don't know. It's also very personal, the perception of our own roots. And maybe Belgium is also giving me something new to say or to explore. The important fact is that I also really like to live abroad. I love my country, but I really like to live abroad.
And speaking about your work in general, your a lot of what you do seems to, gravitate around the notions of humanity or human experience, I would say. Family relations, young age, old age, human touch, distance between people. What is that interests you or attracts you to those topics? Is there a grand question that you're trying to uncover?
Let's say that I started my art research by involving my family. They were the first performers somehow and the first audience that I ever had. I like to explore all the nuances of human emotions, but also biography. I never work with professional actors or performers just to train the non-professional. And I like to involve as a performer like real people with a strong personal history or biography, or let's say a strong body situation. For example, I've been working with the deaf community so much for several years. I have worked with an albino singer because somehow the particular condition that they are living in compared to the main society, let's say, give me the opportunity to explore something deep and something extra. Somehow I also like to push the limits of my performers. For example, the children are also pushed to read the adult, you know, like to make a small action that reverses the power in my performances.
So what has been the reactions of the public, let's say to the Sparks project, but also perhaps you remember something extra that you would like to share?
Maybe I can, of course, we talk about Sparks, but also I like to tell you more about another performance, which is called Gold, that involves the presence of three falcons, birds of prey, to fly in an indoor space together with some performers, but also an audience. And the space is very dark. And when the audience enter the space, they don't realize immediately the presence of these birds of prey, which are, let's say, it's impossible to tame them, but you can train them. So they keep the aggressivity within themselves, but of course there is a falconer, there is you know, they are trained to be indoor. And the reaction of the audience in this piece is like immediate, or they run away like after a minute, or they stay but maybe terrified. But after a while you can really see the changes of the face of the audience, like either relaxing or like falling in love with this animal, or somehow keeping the tension and the fear. So let's say that this was the strongest performance that I ever had in terms of reaction of the audience. To Sparks performance, the audience can react in a very with all the nuances of emotions. It also depends somehow. You get a reading from a child that is more playful. Sometimes you get a reading from a child that is more shy. Or you get a reading from a child that is really engaged. And somehow I saw some adults, audience, coming out crying. So during the workshop, the training we do to the children, we also teach them how to accept the fact that they can provoke emotions. Okay, if you are a child and you see an adult crying after you talk to them, can be also very strong and violent for them. So we just explain what's going on, that sometimes you tell something that can touch something very deep and the reaction is the tears, which are part of the human beings.
So what is your relation to Rupert as a space? Have you been with us, or are you planning to come visit us?
Actually, through Paola Tognon, which is the curator of Italian Council grant that I got for Sparks 2021, when we started the dialogue with Rupert, then the COVID-19 came. One of your curator came to see Sparks like in the beginning of the process in Helsinki, and we were dreaming about having more like a concrete and real relationship, but then everything was frozen. So I'm very happy that now we can make a conversation about the project, and maybe for the coming future hope to come there in reality.
So tell us about your authors, Mark. What are you leaving us with?
I will leave you with a dialogue from my last video, Raise, which is again about palm reading and future. And it's shooted by me this year in a little theater in Brussels. And there is also the voice of my daughter. And I think it's important to leave you with a personal sign from my personal life. So I would like to ask to leave you with this little dialogue about this film, Race.
Hai il coraggio di diventare chi sei?
Il tempo può tornare indietro? Con una domanda. Sai prenderti cura di ciò che è lontano? Ridi abbastanza? Sai rendere visibile quello che è invisibile?